together as God's people. I know that's something that I say maybe a little bit often every week, but it's not just an introductory sort of thing. It really is a special thing to be together as God's people. And the worship that we get to share in, and in the time we get to spend together when we're not praying and singing, growing closer together, it's a real blessing, and I'm thankful for each one of you. Today's lesson is titled, The Integrity to Run Away. There are very few occasions in life where running away is the right thing to do. Certainly not usually the thing that we look to and say, that was an admirable or courageous thing. Charles Glass is a journalist, and he's reported that some 50,000 U.S. troops deserted the army in Europe during World War II. Some of us will look back with pride with grandfathers or uncles or anybody who served in that war. My grandpa, my great-grandpa served in World War II. No one wants to be the one who says, and he deserted. He ran away. There's few times where we look to running away with pride, and yet there are times in our life where running away is the only right thing to do. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39, that's going to be our main passage today. Genesis chapter 39. When we're faced with temptation, and specific times of temptation, it is the right time to run away, not the time to be brave. Genesis 39 is the account of, that's right, Genesis 39. It is the account of Joseph finding himself in worse and worse and worse trouble. I had a good experience yesterday. It's always helpful whenever, I think that might be you, Alice, I'm sorry. We're going to read it in just a second, but that might read it. That's right. I think it's always a good thing. I always appreciate it whenever whoever is leading songs, sometimes they'll text me or call me and they'll say, hey, what's your lesson about? And I'll try and pick some songs that fit that way. And that's a good practice, because as streamlined as we can be as we worship, it's a very helpful thing. And we sing about the same things that we're going to read about in Scripture. We pray about those things. It's a very unifying sort of thing that worship becomes. But today is going to be a doozy, because David called me yesterday and said, hey, well, what's your lesson about? I'm leading songs. I said, well, it's about Joseph and Potiphar's wife. I don't know any songs about that one. I don't know any. There may be some out there. I don't know all the hymns in the world for sure, but songs about Joseph. I don't think we have any songs about Joseph, actually. We have Joshua. We have Moses and the apostles. If any of you want to write a hymn, maybe this is, you'll get fresh ground with this one, Joseph and Potiphar's wife. But David picked good songs about choosing Christ, choosing integrity rather than temptation. And that's what we find with Joseph in Genesis 39. Joseph, because he's chosen to do the right thing, he's found himself in trouble time and again. Let's read together the beginning of the chapter. Genesis 39 and verse 1. Now Joseph, who is the son of Jacob, grandson of Isaac, great-grandson of Abraham, he had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. And so Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. He made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything except for the food that he ate. If you'll remember, if you're familiar with Joseph's life, or if you need a little bit of a brush up, Joseph is the favorite son of 11 sons whenever he gets into real trouble. He's Jacob's favorite son, the son of his old age, the son from his favorite wife, Rachel. And his other brothers can't stand it. And whenever Joseph brings a bad report of his brothers, any of you who have younger siblings know there is nothing worse in the world than having your younger sibling tattle on you to your parents. Humiliating sort of thing. And so they hatch this plot to get rid of Joseph once and for all. They think about leaving him in a pit to die, but then they think, well, we might as well get something out of our brother. And so they sell him into slavery. And although Joseph really hasn't done anything wrong enough to deserve the life situation he's in, although he's been thrown in a pit, his father thinks he's dead, and now he's been sold as a slave, the shocking truth behind the scenes is that the Lord is with Joseph. God is with Joseph, not just when things are going peachy keen for him, but in the pit, as a slave, later in prison, God is with Joseph. And if the Lord is with him, he has all that he needs. Although he's a slave, he finds himself very successful. Everything that he does works. Joseph is one of those people, because God is with him, who is just excellent at everything he does. He becomes, you know, the second-hand man in the house. So much so that his master Potiphar, in verse 6, is living the easy life. Look at what it says. He left all that he had in Joseph's charge. Because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. Because of Joseph, and because the Lord is with Joseph, Potiphar's living the dream. Can you imagine a life where it's like, I don't have to worry about covering the bills, Joseph's paying the bills this month. Don't have to worry about mowing the yard, Joseph's mowing the yard this week. The only thing I have to worry about is what's for dinner tonight, what's for dinner tomorrow. Potiphar is living it up because Joseph is there and the Lord is with Joseph. But just because God is with Joseph does not mean that Joseph is spared of temptation or that his life does not have hardship. He's going to face a real test in the following verses. Pick up where we left off at verse 6. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. He has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except for you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. Joseph is blessed. Everything that Joseph does is blessed because God is with him. And one of the blessings that Joseph has in verse 6 is his appearance. Joseph's a handsome man. There comes a time where, because he is so impressive and because of the way he looks, Potiphar's wife casts her eyes on him. And she tempts him. She says, "Lie with me. We can be together, Joseph." This sort of temptation stands as a placeholder for all temptation, although it does reach every single one of us at some point or another. Genesis 39 is a story about sexual temptation, but it does stand in place for any temptation, that all of us, at one point or another, with any sort of temptation, are faced with the opportunity to do something we know we ought not to. And Joseph faces this not just one time, but over and over. Verse 10, she spoke to Joseph day after day. All temptation is is dangerous to our souls. All of it is trying to draw us away from doing things God's way and living God's way. But this sort of temptation especially is a dangerous, dangerous thing. And the world that we live in is a different sort of place. When we read in the Old Testament or the New Testament about the dangers of sexual temptation or the high virtues of fidelity within marriage, that is what sexuality is made for. That's the way that it is good and protected. In the ancient world, you had to find somebody to be with. Like, if you're tempted in that way, you have to go be with someone. And that is not the world that we live in anymore. Our world is full of all sorts of sexual temptation that is not just with someone else. You can watch a movie, you can get anywhere on the internet, and it's like immediately temptations are at you. This is the thing that you want, you can come and take it. It's the same thing that Potiphar's wife says to Joseph. But you'll notice that Joseph has incredible integrity, not just on the one instance, but day after day. Joseph could have made a million excuses for himself. He could have looked around and said, well, you know, my life's been really hard, and it seems like I'm finally catching a break. Maybe this is just the sort of thing that I need. No one else appreciates me. My own family doesn't appreciate me. But now here's someone who wants me and who appreciates me, and so I should take advantage of that. He says none of those things. He doesn't think that because he's somewhere where he's finally on his own, that he can make decisions for himself and do what he wants. Look at what he says in verse 8. When he's faced with this temptation, he says, everything that I have has been given to me. He has all control of the house. He's been given all the honor in Potiphar's house. But in verse 9, what's the reason? What holds Joseph back from taking a step further to indulging in the temptation? He says, all this stuff about Potiphar's house, talks about how he's here talking with Potiphar's wife. But the sin that he's concerned with is not just a sin against Potiphar. All sexual sin is ultimately hurting somebody else. It's somebody's daughter. It's somebody's son. It's somebody's spouse that you're tempted with, or that you are going to commit some sin with. You're always defrauding someone when you indulge in this sort of sin. And we can think about those things to try and deter us from temptation. And that's a helpful thing. You think about the consequences. It's like, well, what would this do to my wife? What would this do to my husband if I were to go through with this? How would this affect my kids? And those are all valid things that should stop us in our tracks as we're tempted. But there's ultimately one answer for why we don't go through with temptations like this. He says in verse 9, the last thing he says, how can I do this great thing, this great wickedness, and sin against God? It's not just going to cause a problem for Potiphar in his marriage. It's not just going to cause a problem for Joseph, and if he were to get married later, the sorts of things that might bring up. Joseph realizes with incredible clarity at his young age and his situation in his life, he looks around and he says, God is watching me. God has been with me all this time. How could I betray my Lord and my King? That's the difference. It's not just about our lives. It's not just about the family dynamics that go through the way we live our lives. Joseph understands that he lives a life accountable to God. And that's what halts him from temptation. And he's very careful. This isn't something that happens to him just one time and he passes the test. Verse 10 says, she spoke to Joseph day after day, day after day, but he would not listen to her. He wouldn't even be with her. It's not like he's trying to play it close to the tracks. He doesn't say, well, I won't do anything, but it doesn't hurt anything if we hang out. I won't do anything, but maybe I'll just spend some time one-on-one with this person. He says, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to be with her. I'm not going to be beside her. Absolutely nothing. It's that carefulness that saves Joseph. And I want you to notice here in verse 10, the primary action of Potiphar's wife in this moment in Joseph's life is the things that she says. She speaks to him in verse 10. She says this day after day. a lot of times, because of the world that we live in, we think of sexual temptation as primarily visual. It's like we teach our kids the song, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see," right? It's like, well, we want to be careful about what kind of movies we watch. We don't want to get bad images in our mind. Or we got to be really careful about internet access because without even trying to, you can see things that you didn't want to see. And there's certainly an element of that, obviously, in this sort of temptation. But the Bible will constantly tell us about a warning against the words of temptation this way. It's not just the things that we see that tempt us. It's the message behind it. It is Potiphar's wife saying, "I want to be with you. No one has to know about this." It's the words that are really going to trip people up. This is what Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 5. In this sort of situation where there's a wise father passing on wisdom to his son, he says it this way at the beginning of the chapter. "My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion. Your lips may guard knowledge. The lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she's bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the way of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it." This passage doesn't say anything about swimsuits. This passage does not say anything about an R-rated movie, the things you might see. It says, listen to her words and be very careful that you do not believe them. How many times have we seen, maybe it's a young person, a boy or a girl, fall for the wrong person? We can see it sometimes. It's like, this person is bad news. You know exactly what this person is about. And it's because they're listening to the things they're saying. They say things like, "I appreciate you. I want you. What we have together is special. I only want you." It's the words that they say. And when you believe those lies, that's what gets you trapped in the temptation. In Proverbs chapter 7, there's a similar warning. Whenever the wise father, he says, it's like a little parable. He looks out his window and he sees somebody who's not being careful, a fool, who walks right by this tempting woman's house, and he listens to all of her words. Words that she says like, "My husband's away, no one's going to know about this, it's not going to cause us any trouble, it'll be good for us." And in Proverbs 7 and verse 21, it says, "With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her like an ox goes to the slaughter, or a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life." The danger with this sort of temptation is not just the things that we see. It's not even just the things that we look at and that's what draws us away. It's the lies behind it that say, this thing that I want, that I know is wrong, would be good for me. It would be enjoyable. Or no one has to know about this. Or this won't hurt anyone if no one knows about it. It's the words behind it that are the trouble. It is the words of the wife of Potiphar who says, "Be with me." And Joseph won't do it. This is the temptation. This is how Joseph fights it. We talked at the start of this lesson about running away, and that's what's so famous about Joseph here. In Genesis chapter 39, we'll go back here. Genesis chapter 39, now in verse 11. So this is after days and days of this repeated offer, which Joseph refuses time and again. But finally in verse 11, "One day, when he went into the house to do his work, none of the men of the house were there. She caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hands and fled and got out of the house." There's something so... you just have to cheer Joseph on as you read this, right? It's like, you cannot trap Joseph. You cannot get him down. A man of integrity cannot be trapped. Because here he is, and it's the perfect opportunity, right? If you had any excuses where it's like, well, maybe someone will find out, or maybe I'll get in trouble, today's the perfect day. There's no one else around. She grabs a hold of his clothes. It's like, obviously, she's making the first move, and maybe there's some blame on her for that. But Joseph will not play the game. It's always his clothes that get him in trouble, his whole life. It's when his dad gives him a nice, fancy coat that his brothers hate him. It's whenever this woman grabs his clothes that he's going to end up in prison. But when he's given the perfect chance, and this is one of the big takeaways for our lesson. When you have the perfect opportunity to hide your sin, it is not the time to be brave. It is the time to run away. If you're ever in a situation where you think this would be the perfect time to do something I know I should not, you get out of there. There's no negotiating. Joseph doesn't say, well, wait, let's talk about this. He just runs away. He gets out of there. And that's what saves him. That's what saves his integrity, is that he's willing to get rid of anything else and to suffer the consequences of this action because he refuses to sin against God. That's how we fight this temptation, of all temptations. Now, there's sometimes where, you know, if you're scared of sharing the gospel, that's not the time to run away, right? There's some temptations, like if you're scared to talk to people, you don't come up to someone and say, I'm too scared, I'm gonna clock out of this one. It's like some temptations you have to face head on, not sexual temptation. If you're home alone and it's like no one else is around, no one's supposed to be around, and I have this opportunity, and you're tempted in that way, get out of the house. Don't stay where it's easy. Don't make it easy for Satan to tempt you and trap you. You get out of there. That's the only warning that we see in Scripture. We're going to keep moving for sake of time, but in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul gives a very simple sentence of warning. He says, flee fornication. You don't fight it. You don't negotiate. It's not time to be brave. You leave. You get out of there. You take any measure possible. Because it's worth it in the end. It is always worth it. And this is what we find for Joseph in his life. This is the conclusion of Genesis chapter 39. And to anyone who is not looking at this moment in Joseph's life with eyes of faith, it seems like Joseph is the greatest loser of all time. Anyone in the world who does not have the virtues of integrity and honor will look at this and say, Joseph's the biggest fool there ever was. Because you look at him and it's like, he had a really good job. He was the greatest, you know, secondhand man in Potiphar's house. He's very successful. He had this woman who wanted to be with him. It's like, he had the perfect life right here for a moment, and he gave it all away. And where does Joseph end up? Look at verse 19 of Genesis 39. As soon as his master heard about what his wife told him, this is the way your servant treated me, his anger was kindled. Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Joseph was sold into slavery. Joseph refused temptation. And because he did the right thing, Joseph ends up in prison. But even there in prison, it's the fourth time that the text tells us the Lord was with Joseph. When we're faced with temptation, especially this kind of temptation, the right thing to do, the courageous, the way of integrity and dignity is to run away. The lesson this morning, the message, is that it is better to be in prison with the Lord and have your integrity than to be in the house with that woman and have forfeited your soul. Let's all follow Joseph's example and learn from this man of faith. Let's all pray.